This is Tom Warren, inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. For the past few days, we have been considering the question, is the believer saved before he is baptized? And I have been affirming that according to plain, simple Bible teaching, that the answer to that question is no. The believer is not saved the very moment he believes. And then for the last day or two, we have been talking about something of the error involved in affirming that one is saved by faith only. And I've tried to explain why some make this kind of error. And I'd pointed out that, first of all, they fail to understand that passages which state that men are saved by faith refer to a living faith, that is, faith which has led to acts of obedience, or faith which has been completed by works, not by faith without works. James chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. You remember that James said, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so then is faith without works dead." Now, friend, any time you have faith without works, that's a dead faith, just as any human body without the spirit in it is a dead body. Secondly, this mistake is made by some because they fail to understand that under the new covenant, when reference is made to a saved believer, it is to a baptized believer. And I use Mark chapter 16, verse 16 to indicate that. There are many other passages as well that would do the same thing, but we'll be coming to those as we go along in consideration of other matters. And now we come to a third basic error made by those who espouse the theory of salvation by faith alone. They find a passage which sets forth a condition of salvation, namely faith, and because the passage mentions no other condition, they conclude that this single condition, faith, is the one and only condition. Now note that they do not make this error in connection with repentance, even though in Acts chapter 11 and verse 18, repentance is the only condition of salvation mentioned. You remember that the brethren at Jerusalem, when Peter had returned from preaching the gospel to Cornelius and his household, as they listened to his account of that conversion, they said, "Then unto the Gentiles also hath God granted repentance unto life." Now, with equal logic, one could say, well, that's the only condition mentioned in that passage, and therefore men are saved by repentance alone. And therefore, it would follow from that logic that one wouldn't even have to believe either in God or in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this does what we call in logic reducing a thing to an absurdity. It proves more than even the devotees of this viewpoint would be willing to accept. In the same way, if you read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, that baptism saves us, one could, if he used the kind of logic used by those who espouse faith only, that one is saved by baptism only. And that would mean that a man could be saved without believing and without repenting. In other words, if you were down at the river baptizing people and you saw several reprobates standing on the bank of the river, and you decided you'd baptize him even though they didn't believe, even though they hadn't repented of their lying and stealing and drunkenness and fornication, you could just go up on the bank and grab them and force them into the water and baptize them, and they would be saved. No one would be willing to espouse that, but if the logic of holding that because such passages, John 3:16 and Romans 5:1 mentions only one condition, namely faith, then one could conclude that one could be saved by baptism alone. The truth of the matter is, friends, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, Jesus made clear that you have to fit the whole Bible together. When the devil quoted one passage and misapplied it, Jesus quoted another passage and said, "Again it is written." In other words, he made it clear that you've got to fit the two together. And so the people who hold to the view that we're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the very split second, as some have put it, that we do believe in the Lord, we're saved, they fail to understand the use made in the Bible of the figure of speech called the synecdoche, which puts a part for the whole. Not all the plan of salvation is contained in every passage which mentions salvation, but next time we'll continue our study of that point. Please be with us.